Is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to end. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin.
Hallelujah.
O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains fall, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong.
The saints and angels, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost.
O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure.
Hallelujah.
The saints and could we with thee the ocean fill?
You gotta hear this.
And were the skies,
hallelujah,
a parchment made, where every song,
listen,
on earth a quill,
everyone,
and every man a scribe by trade,
to write the love,
to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole.
Go stretch from sky.
Go stretch from sky.
Oh, I tell you what, that song is one of my favorite lately. I've just been plain in love with it. I guess you've heard it if you listen to this regular two or three times in the last few weeks. Well, I'm going to tell you, the love of God is greater far than pen can ever write or tell. There's no way I, as a man of God that loves him with all my heart, can tell you how wonderful, profound the love of God is. And in this dark hour, if you don't understand the love of God, I hurt for you, because I know how important it is to understand the love of God. Now, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Holy Bible, the book that has been ignored, rejected, forgot about, above all the books of the Bible, I guess, is the book of Revelation. I don't know why, but I'm on a commitment, if I can, to awake our people, America even, and certainly the church world, to the book of Revelation. Today, I want to deal with secrets in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Secrets in the first chapter. Now, they're not secrets in the sense that they're not easily seen or easily revealed, but the fact that nobody knows about them or nobody thinks about them much. Now, there's some, of course, but I'm speaking generally, and I'm here to tell you there are secrets in that first chapter that make this book of Revelation come off the page. And I want today to take you to that book of Revelation, chapter 1, and I want to help you get a new and fresh picture of this great book. Now, let me tell you. I believe what we're seeing all over the world is a prelude to much, much more than just this amount of sorrow and pain and plague, but just kind of a bird's eye view, an opening of our eyes, a newness of maybe grasping some of what is going to be revealed and is being revealed and more to come. Don't you think that this is the last of those horrible things? I think it's only a little view of what's about to happen. Now, there are secrets in the book of Revelation that when you really come to understand this book, it opens up the Bible in a way that's overwhelming. I remember I started my Juanita and I started pastoring in 57. In 64, I was appointed to Black Mountain Church of God, and somewhere there, and I don't know how and where, I think Ray Hughes had suggested the book to me. I got a hold of a book by a man named Joseph Seiss. It was a book about the apocryphy. About the apocryphy or the apocryphies. I forgot just how it titles. It's in my library. But I got a hold of this book, a great big book, almost like a college education on prophecy all by itself. An incredible book. And somewhere about 65, I began to study that book. And it totally changed my life. It totally changed my life. Now, it's amazing to know that Seiss was a Lutheran minister, and this book was written out of lectures that he did to his congregation. Lectures that he gave orally to his congregation. I don't know when it was put in book form, but it was preached about the turn of the 20th century, 1900. So 120 years ago, something of that nature was when this book was first preached and then written and put in book form. Now, I'm telling you, that book changed my life. It's still available. Joseph Seiss, S-E-I-S-S. Joseph Seiss, S-E-I-S-S. Now, how many bookstores carry it, I don't know, but you can certainly find it. You probably can find it on some of the used book shelves or book lines in the computer. But I'm here to tell you, if you can get a copy of that book, you should. If you can't get a copy of that book, you can get a copy of my book, which is the masterpiece. Not me. I'm not talking about my writing being the masterpiece, but I'm talking about the book of Revelation being the masterpiece. And this book, of course, has things that I learned from Joseph Seiss. I don't quote him particularly. I just preach what I had been learning and what I'd been digging into until I was able to write the book and publish it. And so it's still available. A lot of people have it, and you ought to have it. But I'm telling you that the book of Revelation is a breathtaking book. And there are secrets there that when you get them, they will begin to change your life. They are that incredible. They are that wonderful. So I want you to have them. This book is such a masterpiece, and it is so full of freshness and prophetic information that you begin to read the book of Revelation, it'll change your life. You get started, and you get to digging, and you begin to look deeply, and you begin to put your heart into the book. I promise you, it will change your life. It's sad to me that most ministers never study deeply the book of Revelation. I would say to any minister, if you want to really be a Bible minister, you must have the book of Revelation in your heart. You must have it in your understanding. You've got to get into the book of Revelation. Now, I want to tell you right now, we are living in the last part of chapter 3 of that book. That's the letter to the Laodicean church, the church that had lost the church that had cooled off and was no longer on fire for God. And the Lord says to that church, because you're neither hot nor cold, you're not hot and you're not cold. You know a little bit about the Bible. You have a little bit of the Bible. You're not totally cold, but you're certainly not hot. You're in between the hot in and the cold in, and the Bible calls it lukewarm. And so most people are just right there in that state of lukewarmness. That is the Laodicean church. The next thing in the book of Revelation following the Laodicean church is the trumpet sounds, and John is caught up to heaven and sees the rapture company around the throne of God. That's in chapter 4. Now, that's the book of Revelation is a chronological order of all the end time events. There's not another book in the Bible that is a chronological order of the end time events. When you try to preach prophecy out of just some of the other books, you can get some good things right. You can preach some very good things, but you cannot preach the chronological order until you get into the book of Revelation. It is the chronological picture. No question about it. I don't think anybody would deny that. They may not get involved in it. They may not search it like I do. They may not preach it like I do. But you've got to see the book of Revelation is a chronological book. It takes you from the church, from the crucifixion of Jesus and his glorious state after the resurrection, and it takes you all the way through to the new heaven and the new earth and the great city of New Jerusalem. And it does it orderly. It does it orderly, and that's why I love it. And if you get my book, you'll see that order. I show it over and over. I have graphs in there that helps you understand it and see it. And I'm telling you, it will get you ready and understanding how we are living, where we are, and what the circumstances around us are. I hope you'll get in it. But let's go with what we're going to do today. I've got about 8 or 10, I won't get to all of them, secrets that I see in this first chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, these are not secrets hid. These are secrets unknown. These are things hidden in the great scripture that people have not been digging out and understanding them, okay? And so I'm going to deal with these secrets in the book of Revelation. I got the line open where someone can call me, and I will do my best. I'm going to watch that light up here on my phone so in case it rings, I can make sure I answer your question. I would love it. I would love it. I would love to answer some questions today. And this is a subject that does need it. Great secrets in the book of Revelation. Now let's start off and let's read some verses. What do you say? Are you with me? Have you got your Bible? Would you like to read them with me? Would you like to read them with me? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God, now listen to this, which God gave unto him, God gave it to Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, see, unto his servant John. Now, the picture is God the Father gives to Jesus Christ this great revelation. He sends it then to an angel who shows it to John. So we have the Father and the Son and the angels and John. And you see that in the first verse. Let's read that again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, and that's all of us, his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God, who bear record, John now bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. And all the things that he saw. Now, there's already these secrets that I'm going to share with you that I'm seeing them. Go to verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. For the time is at hand. And if it was at hand when John wrote it in about A.D. 90, somewhere in between 70 and 90 and 95, when John wrote it, it was given to him on the Isle of Patmos. He saw it and heard it, and he wrote it. And here it is. And so it was written to the churches, verse 4, and to John, to the seven churches. Now notice that John, this is John talking, and he's writing, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was to come, which is and which was to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne of God, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, there's several wonderful secrets here, but there's more. So we're going to take them kind of one at a time and see if I can get you understanding these great things that are here. They are precious to me. I loved them from the moment I began to read this book. They affected my life. And number one, the book was a vision, or visions, and not words. Now, this is something I'd never heard anybody say. I presume Joseph Seiss said it, but I really don't remember. But I can tell you, when I saw it, it overwhelmed me. I was so excited and thrilled that I began to write articles on the things that John saw. And instead of just writing articles on what John said, I wrote articles on what John saw. And I wound up with a notebook that's right here, and it's available. This notebook has 37 messages that I wrote, and they all are messages when John said, I saw what John saw, what John saw. He didn't just hear it, he saw it. Now, if there's anything in the world that makes the book of Revelation just come off the page, it is that John didn't just hear these words, he saw them. So that John was describing the visions which he saw. He was describing, of course, the things which were heard also. He made that plain. But it was a vision, or a series of visions, that John saw. Now that to me is a secret that most people have never discovered. That the book of Revelation is all these wonderful visions that John saw. Wonderful visions that John saw. I've often thought I'd love to have a great drama team that were really great and could do all the parts and dress in all the attire and afford all the things that it would take to put it on to do the dramas of the book of Revelation. Would that not be something exciting? Well, they are dramas. They are visions. They are things which John saw, and John described what he saw, and it thrilled me when I learned that. I hope it'll thrill you. The book of Revelation is a book of visions, a book of things John saw. I hope you get that now. You know, if anything in the world makes this book come alive, it has to be the dramas that are seen by this great man, John. They are great visions. He saw them. And the angelic crowd that must have put this on in front of him. It is incredible how beautiful that great secret is, that the book of Revelation is this series of things that John saw. I really do love that. I really do love that. Now, it is so important. It is so important when you understand that all of this John heard and John saw. It is a level of promise which no one, nowhere else appears in the Bible. You find one place in the Bible that a writer saw everything he said in drama and in great pictures of things occurring in front of him. This book was so important to God that God sent it to Jesus and used angels, and they acted it out in front of John, and he saw them. That's breathtaking. But that's exactly what you've got in the book of Revelation. It's not questionable. You, if you don't believe it, go pick it up and read it. Go pick it up and read it. When I wrote 37 articles of the things John saw to the book of Revelation, I was shouting all the way because it is indeed beautiful. Now, it's a level of promise that there's nowhere else in the Bible that I can find promises that have any degree of glory as the promises of this book. Listen to what he said. I mean, this is so precious. Blessed is he that readeth. I mean, you get a blessing just reading this book, and you don't only get a blessing, you are declared by God to be blessed. There's a difference in getting a blessing and being blessed. Being blessed means God is putting a blessing over you. God is honoring you. God is showing you himself. So blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are therein, for the time is at hand. Now, if ever that was true, it is true this hour, I can promise you. But it's always been true. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that keeps these promises. There's a lot of things in here you're commanded about. And actually, the book of Revelation is commanded to us. It is not a matter, do you want to read it? It's a matter, you're commanded to read it. You're commanded. You're told, this is plain, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear, and they that keep the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, while he doesn't say, thou got to read it, thou hast to read it, he makes the promise so powerful until you cannot take it as anything but God charging us with this blessed responsibility to take this great book and to dive into it. So, promises. Do you want God's promises? Do you want to live in the fullness? I know one thing. When I started this book, my whole life opened up. When I started this book, my whole ministry changed. When I started this book, I got hated by more people, if you want to hear the truth. When I started this book, my life was turned upside down. And I've been writing and speaking and talking prophecy ever since because it got into me through this book, through this holy book. So it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to get this book and to make it ours, to make it ours. Now, let me tell you something that I love, that I discovered. And this is a secret to me. The book of Revelation didn't come from Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, it came through him, but it came from the Father. It said the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the whole book. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, do you get that? It was from the Father. You know, we read the book of Revelation, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, it indeed it is. The Father gave it to Jesus to reveal it, to make it manifest, to show it, both in visions and give it to him in written words. But the Father, the Bible said it, the revelations of Jesus Christ, that's the first words now. I'm reading the first verse. The revelations of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, you can't find something plainer than that this book came from the Father. This is not what Jesus laid out for us to have. This is what God the Father gave to Jesus to lay out for us to have. It is from the Father. Now, that's a secret to me that many people don't grasp. They don't understand. This is not just a book Jesus gave us. This is the book that God gave Jesus to give us. It passed through Jesus, but it came from the Father. Do you grasp that? Is that a secret to you? Maybe it isn't. Maybe some of you have already learned that, and I'm proud as I'd be if you have. I'm not here to make anybody think I know more than anybody else, because I don't. The more I read and the more I study the old great men of God, the more I understand how much further I got to go. I'm kind of like Paul. I count not myself to have apprehended that for which I was apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, it was sent to the church. It was sent to the church. Now, you got to get this one. It was sent to the church. It was written for the church. It was provided for the church. It is not something we can ignore. The book of Revelation is our message from God the Father to the church. And he sent it to the seven churches of Asia. Now, anybody reading Revelation knows that seven is the number of completion. Seven is the number of completion. Anything you see in sevens is a whole of that particular thing, is the totality of that particular thing. 7 days a week is how all of our worlds are divided in days and weeks and on and on. And seven is in the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation over and over and over, because it is the number of completed. And so here we have seven churches, which is the church world that God gave this material, this letter, this vision, or these visions for everybody to enjoy, for everybody to dig into. I've heard preachers say, well, not all of us are gifted with teaching prophecy. Well, it's because they don't study the Bible. If you don't, the Bible is clear. Just preach the Bible. Preach the whole of the Bible. The Bible tells us, commands us to preach all of the scripture. And so everybody out there is commanded to preach the book of Revelation. Don't start without learning. Don't start without digging. Don't start without preparing yourself. But get started somewhere and get that book written all over you. It is breathtaking. It is wonderful. Now, aren't those four things marvelous? Number one, it came in many, many different visions. Number two, it's full of promises. It's a book of promise. It's a book of promises. Number three, it came straight from the Father. It came directly from the Heavenly Father. It is commanded of the whole church. It is commanded of the whole church. No question about this book. It's commanded of the whole church. You can listen, friend. Somebody called me on my phone, and so I'm going to turn them into a listener. I hope. No, they left fast. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, that's amazing. Isn't God good? The triune God is described carefully. I like that. I like the triune God. That's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Would you like for me to show you that? You see, let me tell you something before I get there. The book of Revelation has every doctrine in the Bible specified in this book. There's not a doctrine in the Bible that you cannot find in the book of Revelation. I've done prophecy conferences where I would say to people, name one doctrine in the Bible that you think may not be in the book of Revelation, and I will take you to it and show it to you in the book of Revelation. Because every doctrine of the Bible. So many people preach from the Bible as a text to preach from, but they don't describe the whole series of this great book. You can preach the Trinity. You can preach the blood. I'll show you that in a little bit. You can preach so many great things of the Bible and use the book of Revelation as your text, because it has the text for all of these great doctrines of the Bible. I think that one of the most wonderful things about the book. I really do like that. I like the fact that all the doctrines of the Bible are there, and you can find them and you can go to them. It takes us straight. It takes us straight to the millennial reign. Well, I didn't finish that number five. Hey, let's go read this. I want you to see the Trinity. I want you to see the triune God. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Listen now. Grace to you, grace unto you, and peace from him. Notice now him, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. So number one, grace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. And then notice as it continues, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. And from the seven spirits which are before the throne. And then listen, next verse, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, from him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So, from him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. That's the ministry, the total ministry of the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ. In every case, it says and. So you cannot ignore what the Bible says so clearly and plainly. So there is this breathtaking picture of the triune God right in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Now look at what all I've shown you. Beautiful, glorious secrets. Hallelujah. Number one, many, many wonderful visions. Number two, many, many wonderful promises. Number three, directly from the Heavenly Father. Number four, the commanded and sent to all the church world. Nobody in the church can ignore this book. If you ignore this book in the church, you're ignoring something sent directly to you. If you're a church, it's been sent to you. If you're a church, it's part of your theology. If you're a church, it's part of your written truth. It's part of your curriculum. That's a good way to say it. It's part of your curriculum. Just like the whole Bible is part of your curriculum. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? But we don't want to stop there. We've seen the triune God. And now it takes us straight. Take this Bible and this doesn't finish in Revelation 1, but go to Revelation 22. And what does it do? It takes you in this context from the church straight to the opening and sounding of the trumpet and the opening of the windows in heaven, right through all the period between then and finally at the end, you've got a 1,000-year millennial reign, and then you've got a new heaven and a new earth, and you've got a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. I mean, the picture is straight from the church world, right straight to the end of all the great promises of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? To me, that's a secret. It's right there. And write it. I hope these secrets are getting hold of you. I want you to get so excited to start digging in this great book of Revelation until you can't stop. You may be a Sunday school teacher. Get in the book of Revelation and teach it to your class. You may be a mom. Get in the book of Revelation and teach it to your children and your grandchildren. Oh, and on. John Wesley's wife, she taught those kids, John Wesley's mother, I'm sorry, taught those kids the things of God until she produced a John Wesley. I'm here to tell you, mamas can produce some wonderful children out there if you'll teach your kids the Bible. I challenge every mother listening to me that's got little children, start reading the book of Revelation to them at night and take it chapter by chapter. I'll help you. We've got the whole thing on DVDs, 24 DVDs, or 24 CDs of the whole book of Revelation. I taught them chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The book teaches it from chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I want to get the world involved in the book of Revelation. Can you tell that? I hope you can. I want to get you involved in the book of Revelation because I know something. It'll change your life. It'll change your perspective. And wouldn't that be something if I got about 1,000 mothers to say, I'm going to teach my children and read to them from the book of Revelation. I'm going to explain it to them. I'm going to get it and explain it. I don't know how. Well, just get my book. Start with my book. If that won't help you, it doesn't have it all, but it has a good amount of it. And get Joseph Seiss's book if you prefer. That's okay with me. I'm not out for profit. I'm not out to make me anything significant. I'm out for the glory of God. I'm out for the Bible, the truths of the scripture to get a hold of you. Oh, I tell you the truth. It's exciting. It really is. Are you getting it? Anybody got a question? Grab your phone. I don't guess there's been a call. Grab your phone. Right now, let me take a moment and wait, and then I can watch, and then I can go on. Grab your phone if you want to call. 391-0588. That's 704. 391-0588. Call. Let me put the number up in front of you. That way you'll know, you'll have it right there in front of you. And there it is. First number, 704-391-0588. It'll dial right into here. Got four lines. I'll put you right on the speakerphone and we'll talk together right over the air and people can hear you and hear your question. It may be the question they want to ask and they're not willing to. So you do it for them. Okay? Will you do it? 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now move on, because I don't want to waste a minute of this precious time. I'm here to tell you that time is of great importance to me when I'm on this air, when I'm on this beautiful thing. Now it takes us straight to the book to the great millennial, and then right on to the new heaven and the new earth, and then right on to New Jerusalem, and it takes us to the end of all things. That's what the book of Revelation, it's God's book. Now don't you ever forget that God gave it to Jesus. God gave it to Jesus. That's what the book said. And you can't deny what the book says. It's either God or truth, or wouldn't be in the book. It's just that simple. So it takes you right on. Now, it glorifies something that I'm very excited about. Go to verse 10. You got your Bible open? You got your Bible open? Let's read verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day? What's that? The day of the resurrection. The first day of the week. That's our New Testament Sabbath. That's our New Testament responsibility. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, have you ever got that secret? That John was in the Spirit on his Sabbath day? John was in the Spirit on the resurrection day? John was in the Spirit on the day the Holy Ghost was poured out? John was in the Spirit on the day the New Testament church met to worship? That's even told to bring the tithes and offerings. Bring whatever blessing you've had for the week. Bring it to the house of God on the first day of the week. That's what he said. That's what the Bible said. I'm not quoting my own opinion. You see? So here's a secret. Right there in the book of Revelation chapter 1. That John honored. Excuse me here. My nose is itching. You know, we're all human, aren't we? Oh, God is so good to us. God is so good to us. I hope you love him. And I hope you serve him with all of your heart. Now, it makes sure, it makes plain that New Testament church honored the first day of the week. They honored the Lord's day. They honored the day the Lord came out of that tomb. Hallelujah, the Lord's day. And see, this is all in the Bible. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not giving you my opinion. Not at all. And then I want to go a little further, because this is so imperative. This chapter shows how the Father had exalted his Son, Jesus Christ. How many of you understand how exalted the Father has made his Son in the church? We don't forget the Father, but we honor the church as the Lord of the church, as the master of the church. It's his body. The church is actually the body, the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Actually, the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read you a little bit to show you that. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Heard behind me a voice, a great voice, as of a trumpet, which said, saying unto me, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, which is and which was. Write thou these things in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he names all those churches from Ephesus all the way to Laodicea. Let me name them for you. Send them to Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Send it to the church. Send it to your church. You included in that seven. It was sent to your church. It was sent to the Paul Creek Church. It was sent to the East Way Church of God. It was sent to the East Gastonia Church of God. It was sent to the First Baptist Church of Charlotte, North Carolina. It was sent to the Myers Park Baptist Church over in the Myers. It was sent to every church. There's no such thing as a church this wasn't sent to, my brothers and sisters. Are you listening to me? And what does it do? It glorifies Jesus, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, which is, which was. Write the things which thou seest, and send it unto the churches. Now, that's the secret. Another one. It was sent to your church. What's your preacher doing with it? It was sent to your congregation. It's part of your curriculum. What is your congregation doing with it? I mean, it was sent to you. It was mailed right to your door. You say, no, number. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. You can't separate it. God's word is forever true. It doesn't change. It's forever unalterable. Isn't that beautiful? Let me read on. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Ooh, I like this. I saw, didn't hear, I saw. Notice John saying, I saw. You understand the vision aspect? I saw. John said it over and over. And I turned to see the voice which spake unto me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Oh, here's Jesus. Here's Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like a refined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Listen now. And his feet like a refined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Woo! I hope you're getting that. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. What is that? The word of God. It was sent to your church. The word of God was spoken to your church. Again, I could name them. The word of God was spoken to Thrift Baptist Church. The word was spoken to the Paul Creek Presbyterian Church. The word was spoken to the Paul Creek Ministries. The word was spoken to all of us. It's not something you can ignore. It was spoken to us, and it was like a sword that went out of his mouth. Sharp, two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, another scripture says. So you got a picture there of Jesus Christ being exalted by the Father. The Father was trying to show the church the position the church would hold in the kingdom of the Lord, in the kingdom of the church. And what is the picture that the church holds? He walks in the midst of the church. How long has it been since he walked down the aisles of the Myers Park Presbyterian Church? How long has it been since he walked down the aisles of the, I think of so many churches in this city. How long has it been since he walked the aisles of your church? How long has it been since he walked Paul Creek aisles? Let me take the responsibility on myself. He walks in the midst of his church. You got to hear me. The churches are like seven golden candlesticks. That's the description of a biblical church. The picture of a biblical church. Again, a secret. I'm bringing you the secrets of chapter 1. I'm bringing you the secrets of chapter 1. And the church is a golden candlestick. What is a candlestick? It's a place of light. It's a place of light. It's lit up for the world to be guided to the doctrines and truths of the Holy Bible. And what is the church? The church is in the house of God or wherever it may be located. And Jesus is walking in the midst of the church. So if there's any secret here, you cannot ever forget, it is that Jesus is walking in the midst of the true church. You better stop and listen. In the morning you can't go tomorrow here in Charlotte. We're going to have hours out here in the churchyard. Oh, last Sunday was so good. I love to preach outside. I've done that in mission fields. I did that. Let's see, where all have I done that? South Africa. I did that over in, it's a church in Africa. I mean, a country of Africa. I forgot the name. I'm trying to say it, but it's not coming out. They talk French there. Oh, wonderful time there. I've been in Babylon. I've been in other countries preaching, teaching everywhere I could go. I won't go if I can't preach. I'm not interested in going on vacations, but I'm interested in going anywhere I can talk and preach and meet godly people and help the church to go forward. I'll help the church to do the business of the Lord. So the Lord is writing this to the church of the world. This is the whole church world. Seven candlesticks represents every church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And the Lord is walking in the midst of the church. Am I bringing you the secrets for you to never forget? I sure hope I am. It shows how the Father has glorified His Son. It shows Jesus as the one that died for us and rose again. Oh, it does. It shows the resurrected Christ. It shows the resurrected Christ. Look at John when he sees the Lord. This is so powerful. And when I saw him, verse 17, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the light. I am the first and the last. Fear not. I am the first and the last. Are you listening? These are secrets that people have never got. And I'm trying to get you to got them. I'm trying to get them to you. I want you to hear them. I am he that liveth and was dead. Now notice this. He says this. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Admitting his death. He's the glorified one here. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. You're afraid of death? Don't be afraid of death. If you're saved by the blood, hallelujah, he holds the keys to your death. He holds the keys. Oh, hallelujah. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Friend, we are so blessed to have the kind of truth like is in this great book to enjoy and to study and to search out with all our heart. I don't guess nobody's called, hadn't seen the light come on. Let's take a moment. Grab your phone. 704-391. Get that now. 704. Do it quickly. Grab your phone, 704-391. Write down those letters. Put them on your phone, 391-05-05-88. 05-88 will ring right here in my office. I'll grab it and we'll talk. If you have a question, I want everybody to get this book of Revelation in your mind and in your heart. I don't think that I could give you more wonderful things than I've given you. I said earlier, but I want to say it again, every doctrine in the Bible is in this book of Revelation. If there's anything that makes the book of Revelation beyond compare, you name me another book that has every doctrine of the Bible written, expressed, or seen in the book, in one book. The book of Revelation is that book. Every doctrine in the Bible is seen in the book of Revelation. Call me and ask me if you think you've found something that isn't in the book of Revelation. And I think I'll take you to the chapter and verse. I have been stumped before when I had to spend a little time digging, but I can dig it out if I haven't got it. That's been my character through these years. Do you know I've been on this radio 49 years doing these very things? Listen to me. Now, I want to tell you, if you don't have Charlotte, WHVN is no longer on. I hope you've got used to this. If you haven't, get used to this. This has a radio and a television and an internet, a web page. I mean, it's a computer and a radio and a television. I mean, it's amazing to me. My bank this week put the whole church banking program right on my computer so that I can check the bank from my home or from my car if I'm out of town and keep up with everything. That's wonderful. I love it. I love the fact that it has so much capacity to it. So much capacity to it. It's a thrilling thing. But so many people don't know. And so many people, I don't want that thing in my home. Well, you don't have to watch the junk that somebody else puts on it. Do you remember that Jesus walked on the Roman roads? And those Roman roads was built for armies and for thieves. It was built for so much mischief. You can't even describe it, but Jesus used them to carry the gospel on. So use the Romans road to carry the gospel, okay? Use the Romans road to read the gospel. Don't be so freakish about things that are so gravely important. Really, gravely important. So every doctrine on the Bible. And of course, I don't want to miss. It is so important. It magnifies the blood. It magnifies the blood. I love that part of it. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. His own blood, it says. In his own blood. I never thought about that. Actually says in his own blood. He don't want you to think it was the blood of a calf or the blood of an animal, a dove or something. No, no, no. In his own blood. He said it plainly and profoundly, and it's so true. So there you have the book of Revelation chapter 1, and full of secrets. Full of secrets, full of great truths. I mean, it is a breathtaking book. One thing I don't ever want you to forget, that it is a book of many, many visions. beautiful acted out visions right in front of John the Revelator. He saw them and then he heard them. Now, these things are going to happen. I want to try to help you now. I got about 13 minutes. The calls are available. If you want to call, I would love to spend half of that time or more answering questions for you. So I dare you to grab your phone and call with something that is really on your mind that you'd like to know about the book of Revelation. Tell me, does your church read and teach from the book of Revelation? Has your congregation got themselves in this curriculum, this part of the curriculum, this part of the Bible into your church? Are you digging in? If not, start on your own. Don't be critical. Just start on your own. I'm not trying to criticize nobody. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to get you right here where we are. Now, I don't know how God's going to help me, but I'm praying for God to help me spread the book of Revelation all over the world. That's my prayer. I want to spread the book of Revelation all over the world. God has helped me to understand it. God has helped me to grasp it. God has put it in my heart, in my mind. I'm countrified in the way I say a lot of things, but I want you to understand them. I want them to be plain and simple, and I want to get you getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, let me go a little further as I wait in case you want to call 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I'll put that call up again for just a moment, okay? Are you listening? I want you to hear it. I want you to get involved in what we're learning, what we're studying. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I challenge somebody with a good question. Grab your phone. I would love it. Everybody else loves it too. When we get calls and answer them over the phone, people will tell me about hearing so-and-so call, hearing this call with this particular question. It's always quite exciting and enjoyable. So I challenge two or three of you Greek scholars, that's okay. I charge you to grab your phone and let me help you with a question. Or you help me. It may be a question you already know, but you'd like for other people to get the real answer to it. That'd be great. I don't mind anything that gets the word out there, that gets the truth out there. I want you to have it in your heart and in your mind so that it becomes part of your life and you live it, you walk in it, you serve God in it. And mothers, let me challenge you again. Take this book of Revelation and sit down with your children and start reading it. You say, I don't know enough yet. Well, read it and just let them help you talk about it and move on. And it won't be long till you'll begin to get this and that. And again, we got videos available. We got audios available of the whole book, the whole Bible, 24 DVDs or 24 CDs, either one you want. 24 DVDs or 24 CDs and covering the whole book with your friend, Brother Chambers, teaching it with the best. I mean, I did it as professionally as I could. I used a lot of professionalism, not as much as if I was a TV star, but I didn't have but so many resources, but we did the best we could, and it's available, and you can get it, of course. We will always provide these things to bless people, and we don't charge big dollars. Call Monday at the phone number here, and Wendy will help you. 704-391-0588. 704-391, same as on the radio, is the phone line all week. So give us a call and we will help you. 704-391-0588. It'll be a joy. Now, as you call, if you do, if you don't, okay, I got plenty to say. Brother Chambers loves this Bible, and I never give out. Now, if you read the book of Revelation, you remember you go to chapter 2 and chapter 3, and those are seven letters written to the church. Now, the seven letters constitute a whole. The seven letters constitute a whole. Each one of them says different things, but they deal with different situations in the church. They deal with different situations in different churches. Some are on fire going forward. Others have backslid and left their first love. Some have cooled off until they're nothing but kind of a simmering ember. And you see different things happening, and all of them focus and become together a compact letter written to the church, warning the church of the things that can happen. All kinds of things can happen to a church. All kinds of things can happen to a church. You are on the air. May I help you, please? All right. Sorry about that. Another button to click. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Explain a little bit about the seven spirits.
Oh, the seven spirits. That is wonderful. I preached a sermon several times, same sermon, on the seven spirits. This is a composite, I'm not saying the right word there. This is a composition of all the Holy Spirit represents. The sevenfold person of the Holy Ghost reveals his convicting power, his teaching power, the different things that the Holy Spirit has been sent into his church to do. So the sevenfold spirit represents the sevenfold ministry of the person of the Holy Ghost. One person, the Holy Ghost, but a sevenfold ministry. Okay?
Thank you.
Do you understand that?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
God bless you, and thank you for asking the question. See, those are the kind of things that people may not think about. I don't know how to answer every question without somebody asking me. So grab your phone. Let's have another one. 704-391-0588. Now, let me talk about that one as the phone rings again. Listen, what does the sevenfold spirit represent? See, the book of Revelation is seen as a great drama. A great drama. So to have this drama, you got to have descriptions of you got the four beasts. Well, they're not beasts. They don't look like dogs and bears. They're living creatures, but they're called beasts. Well, that language kind of fit the language back when the King James Bible was translated, but don't fit it well today. They're really living creatures. They're great angelic beings. They're great angelic powers. The Bible would call them great princes. Remember, he called Michael and Gabriel great princes. And so it represents, that's one thing about Revelation, is everything that looks dramatic and doesn't have a clear understanding in a kind of a simple way, you study the Bible. And the Bible will answer it in other ways, in other places. The Bible always interprets itself. The Bible always interprets itself. The last thing you ever need is somebody who used their noggin to interpret something they don't understand in the Bible. You never use your noggin, your head, your mind, your thoughts to interpret what's in the Bible. You go to the Bible and you let the Bible interpret it. You let the Bible give you the meaning. Okay? Is that understandable? I hope it is. Very beautiful. You know that seven throughout the Bible is a picture of the whole of any particular thing. Seven is a picture of the whole in any particular thing. Seven churches, seven spirits. It all goes right to the heart of showing the fullness of how God deals with mankind, how God deals with us, and how God ministers to us. Do you understand? Now, another question. Be glad to have it. Grab your phone. Call it real quickly. But while you're going, I hope you will, let me take you to the church at Laodicea. Couldn't get Laodicea to come out of the brain. Laodicea. Let me take you and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Now, this is the last of the seven. One thing you'll find about these seven churches, they are a picture of the church from then till now. They're a picture of different periods of the church. They're a picture of the church in its entirety in any given period. I mean, it's just kind of a broad way of giving you the picture of the church age from the day in the church at Ephesus all the way to the church of Laodicea. And you see the whole church as you look at these seven. And they are orderly, so that the last one is the Laodicean church. Do you know what the word Laodicea means? You got to hear this. The word Laodicea means the church of mob rule. Mob, M-O-B. Have you ever seen a church so ruled by the mob? I mean, you find a church that hasn't had at least two or three splits. You find a church that somebody hadn't grown up in the church and they want to be the boss. And so it's either my way or the highway. And here they go. And they take a dozen with them, maybe 10 families with them. I mean, they tear the church apart. We had such a tearing last June, July, August. We had such a tearing. And getting above it is terrible at times. Every church has been through it. I couldn't believe it recently when I heard about a pastor in Charlotte who was so noted and known. And they said, well, he started a new church. I said, what happened? Well, some of the elders didn't get along with him. And so he had to take off. Well, that's happened. That's happened over and over because the church is a mob-ruled church. Everybody wants to be a boss. Everybody wants to be the kingpin. Everybody wants to throw something away and bring something in. And I mean, listen to me. The church is ruled by the Holy Spirit and the Bible and nothing else. The church is ruled by the Holy Spirit and the Bible and nothing else. Am I getting through? Well, I hope I am. Well, the Laodicean church, I hadn't read yet, but the church of Laodicea, the church of Laodicea. These things saith the Amen. How about that? Jesus is called here the Amen, and he really is. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the first begotten, wait a minute, the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, I like that. The beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now you think the Lord's joking? You think the Lord's trying to say something cute? You think the Lord's trying to be kind of snappy in his beautiful words? No. He is absolutely the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He don't say snappy things. He don't try to show how wise he is. He don't try to get the best of the critics. He just simply tells it like it is. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. If you knew the multitude that's going to find themselves having missed the rapture, the morning after the rapture. If you knew how much of the church is neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, and they ain't going in the rapture. You say, Brother Chambers, don't use the word ain't. They are not going in the rapture. Forgive my word. I'm here to tell you, we are in an hour that is desperate. We are right now the last of the entity before the trumpet sounds. You got chapter 3, and this church of Laodicea ends chapter 3, chapter 4. And John says after this, I heard a voice from heaven saying, come up hither. Heard a trumpet, a talking trumpet. Oh, that's a good sermon. I like preaching that one, the talking trumpet. The trumpet, when it sounds, will say what you need to hear, and what he needs to hear, and what she needs to hear, and what that preacher needs to hear. It will say what the happy people, the obedient people need to hear. One street, there'll be somebody here and come up hither. On the next street, there'll be somebody saying, I spew you into the tribulation. I mean, it's about to happen. It could happen in a moment. And if you're not on fire for God, you aren't going. The Bible said it. I didn't say it. I don't preach anything that's not in the Bible, but I preach everything that's in the Bible. If you're sitting around at your home, and this is normal, I know right now it's different, but you're sitting around at your home, you're not half committed to nothing. You act so religious. If somebody asks you, are you ready? You'd say, oh yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. I've had people say that to me so many times. And I would say, you sure don't live that way. What's going on? I said, I've told people flat, I know you're not ready because I know how you live. And some of them have never got over me yet. I mean, they're still angry about it. What am I going to do? Stand before God and God say to me, sir, do you know what you told them? And you told them an untruth and here they are lost and you're to blame? Not me. I'm not going to be blamed for your failure. I'm not going to be blamed for your disobedience. I'm just not going to be blamed for the people that don't obey and don't do the will of God. I cannot. I must not. I'm hungry. The King is coming. I'm trying to look at the time here. The time is vanishing. Wow. It's amazing. I got to go tomorrow morning right out here in the parking lot. We're going to have church. I got a message. I promise you, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. I hope you'll be with us. I really do hope you'll be with it. I will be joyful if you are with it. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming and I want you to go. Jesus is coming and I want you to go. I want you to be ready. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Any moment now, that old trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is coming and what a day it's going to be. Hey, I love you. I love you. I love you. The King is coming. I said the King is coming. Are you coming tomorrow to be with us? I want you to come. I need to hear from you, everybody out there. Right now is a financial need. Right now is a financial need. I need to hear from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory.